Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashim class learning. As we stand in these Asar Simi Teshuvah, preparing ourselves for the Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement. So we are learning the Zecher Nishmasam and the Ilui Nishmasam, Tzvi Gershom ben Yoav Vachana Lav HaShalom, and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya Lav HaShalom. May both Neshamas of Elios and the Schus of the Torah that we will share together. Also, as a zchus for bracha v'gal basracha geta refuah shalema, b'soch sharchalei Yisrael, and a specific aliyah neshama dedication today, our dear friend Toby Carey, father was niftar in Montreal. The levaya is this morning, so Toby asked if we could please learn as a zchus for his aliyah neshama, as he is being malava to his final resting place. During these very auspicious days of the Asar Simi Teshuvah, may the Torah learning and Devei Chizuk and Hesoros that we will share be an aliyah for his neshama as he is being accompanied to his final resting place. Chaim Shalem ben Yitzchak Isaac should have a zchus aliyah neshama in the merit of the Torah that we will share this morning. We shall only share b'soros tovos together. So, it's Minyan Idiyoma. It is a definitely Shmiras Halashon class. It is related very much to Inyan Idiyoma. So it's very interesting that the whole service of Yom Kippur, if you will, begins with Kol Nidre, very holy night, holiest night of the year, the Day of Atonement. And it seems like a very strange thing to begin our Yom Kippur service with. And we're talking about vows and the annulment of the vows. I'm just opening up to where I want to be. Okay. Kol nidrei ve'asarei u'shivuyei v'charamei, all vows, prohibitions, oath, excommunications, konam vows, konas vows, equivalent terms that we may vow, swear, consecrate, prohibit upon ourselves from last Yom Kippur to next Yom Kippur. We regret them. They will all be permitted, abandoned, cancelled, null and void, without power, without standing. Our vows, nidarana, lo nidare, our vows are not valid vows, and our oaths are not valid oaths. So the whole theme of this Kol Nidre night, which probably some people are not familiar with the translation or who do not utilize an English master might not even realize how we begin the whole day of Yom Kippurim. So I'm going to begin right away by screen sharing to the handout that I prepared. Let me just find it right here. Okay, so could you see it says here Rav Salvechik on the top of my screen? Okay. Rav Salvechik teaches as follows, and we're going to look at this piece together. Judaism believes that words per se are the most powerful weapon that God has provided man. Judaism believes in the power of the mind. This is just our introduction on the majesty of the word. Through the word, God created the world. Don't forget, the Rosh Hashanah is Hayom Haras Olam. It is the day of the creation of Adam and Isha. And Adam and Isha were created and they were divested with the Koach HaDibur. They were created on Rosh Hashanah and the famous Targum Unkelus to Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Vayi Adam Nefesh Chaya. Targum Unkelus famously says, Vahavas Ba'adam L'ruach Memalala. At the moment of creation, which was on Rosh Hashanah, Adam and Isha were distinguished from all the other beasts and animals of the field through power of speech. That was Rosh Hashanah. Man was created and given the gift of speech. So as of Salvechik, Judaism believes in the power of the mind and the majesty of the word. Through the word, God created the world. God did not need words to create the world, but he chose the word as the instrument of creation. Vayomer Elohim yehi ar vayehi ar. He chose the word as the instrument of creation in order to teach us that we can create the world through the word and we can destroy the world through the world. And in fact, the Chofetz Chaim tells us in his Kuntros Chovas HaShmira, the Chofetz Chaim tells us in the Psicha, which in our Sefer is on page 26, Klal hadvarim biduburav she'adam yachol livra ulamos ulahachariven. The summation of the matter is, says the Chofetz Chaim, with words man can create worlds, and with words man can destroy worlds. That's from the Psicha of the Kuntres Chovas HaShmira. So this here is what Rav Salvechik is telling us, what the Chofetz Chaim says clearly, that we can destroy with words and we can create with words, just like God created with words. The word can be the most creative. the word can be the most creative power in man's hand, but it can also be the most destructive power given to men. That is why Judaism is almost merciless with regard to Lashon Hara, evil speech, and why it takes so seriously the issues of perjury, vows, and oaths, which I think this piece is obviously very relevant to this idea that Yom Kippur begins with the holiest night of the year, Kol Nidrei Na Yitzkal. What are you really saying? All vows. And yes, says the Rav, Judaism is merciless almost with regard to Lashon Hara. It takes, there's no, you know, in baseball, there's strikes and there's balls. So ball mean you get another turn. One turn, another turn, another turn. Merciless. A strike means you're out. I know it's three and you're out, but I'm just using it as a mashal. Okay? Evil speech. And why take so seriously the issues of perjury, vows, and oaths, which is the topic of the Kol Nidrei. In Judaism, the word is the mark of one's identity as a human being. We already quoted from Unkos to Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, but keep in mind that happened on Rosh Hashanah. In contradistinction to the beast or the brute. So what makes us human, besides for our other distinguishing characteristics, animals also breathe, animals also eat, animals also relieve themselves, animals also have a heart, animals also have a brain, animals seek shade and shelter, animals mate and have children. The word is the mark of one's identity as a human being. In medieval Hebrew, the name for man is Medaber. Medieval Hebrew called the man Medaber, the speaker. Judaism believes in the potency of the word. One second, please. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehira B'Dvaro. Judaism believes in the potency of the word. It is not just the sound, it's not just phonetics. There is a mystical quality to our speech. Hence, man's awareness of God must be objectified in the word. Okay. And they all open their mouths in holiness, purity, song, and hymn, and bless, praise, glorify, revere, sanctify, and declare the kingship of God. And kingship of God is something else very much that is one of these themes of Rosh Hashanah specifically, and the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, when we accept Hashem as HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, Avinu Malkeinu. But here this piece relates very strongly to the topic of Kol Nidrei, because we see that Judaism take so seriously Lashon Hara, evil speech, and so seriously the issue of perjury, vows, and oaths. So now what I want to do, and that is just our introduction. It's very, very interesting. So I went through the vidui. Okay, I have my machzor here. That's where I was quoting from Kol Nidrei. I have my machzor here. Oh. So right away in the vidui, which we recite, first of all, vidui is oral confession. Okay, this is the final stage of teshuvah according to the Rambam. A person must orally confess. You have to use your mouth to confess your sins. Okay, it's just like, it reminds me of the mitzvah who has to sit outside the camp. Parshas Tazria Parak Yud Gimel of Vayikra. Pasuk Mem Aleph Mem Beis Mem Gimel. He has to sit outside the camp. And Tame Tame Yikara, he has to, with his own mouth, accuse himself. And this is the stage of vidui, which the Rav says is the climax of confession. So, Ashamnu, we are guilty. Baganu, we have committed trespass or treason. Gazalnu, we have stolen. And right away, Dibarnu Dofi. So, immediately in the introduction to our vidui, so to speak, in the beginning of the list of sins, Dibarnu Dofi translates as we have spoken slander. And I was thinking that it's very interesting. It's a double dalet. Dibarnu dofi, ashamnu is one, baganu, gazalnu, it's not a double alf, it's not a double bez, it's not a double gimel, havinu, vihirshanu, zanu, chamasnu, tefalnu, sheker, but when it comes to dibarnu dofi, we have spoken slander, it's a double dalet. So dalet is really, we say dalet, it's really not dalet, the letter is really dalet, okay? I don't know why we say dalet, but it's really dalet, like door, okay? If you have to spell out the word, the letter, dalet, every aleph is aleph, lamed, pei, okay? Bayes is not Bayes either. It's really Baya, but okay. Gimel is Gimel Mem Lama. There's a lot of messages and lessons. I'm not going to go through a lot of them now because we don't have time, obviously, to stay on topic. But in the spelling of the letters of Lashon HaKodesh, there are many allusions, Ramazim and Sodos. So Dibarnu Dofi is a double Dalet. It's a Dalet. It's a door. Dibarnu Dofi. So perhaps what we can learn from here is that a person has to know that you have a double door. What does that mean? There are times when your door should be open. I'm talking about the door of your mouth. And there are times when your door should be closed. The barnu dofi, there's a dual dalet here. Why? Because you have to know, one, when to open the door, and two, you have to know when to close the door. And sin of lashon hara, slander of speech, comes when we confuse those two times. When we're not sure, we get mixed up between when the door should be open and the door should be closed. So that's on the barnu dofi in the ashamil. Something to think about when we clap the alcheya. Yom HaKippurim begins this coming Wednesday evening. Our first vidui, of course, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuvah, the first vidui is by Mincha on Erev Yom HaKippurim, because in case a person will choke on their seuda, at least they will have recited vidui, says the Rambam. So when we come to the words Dibarnu Dofi, it's something to think about with this double dalet, the dalas. You have to know when to keep it open and when to keep it closed. And if you confuse those times, you're going to end up with sin, and for that you have to klap an achi. Okay, now let's look at how many of the alchets deal with koach hadibur. Okay, I went through the whole list. Okay, the fourth one. I'm not going to tell you the number of each one, but my machzor is here and it's marked. The sin we have sinned before you with the utterance of the lips. So clearly we're talking about sin of speech. Three later, the sin we have sinned before you with the speech of the mouth. Three later, we're going to end with Honas Re'ah, with oppression of our friend. Okay, you have Onas Tvarim, you have Onas Mamon, with wronging our neighbor. The sin we have sinned before you through confession of the lips. What does that even mean, confession of the lips? So this is a very geschmack word. I don't remember where I learned it or read it. It's not my own thought. Vidui peh means when the vidui stays at the level of the lips, but there's no vidui in the heart. You have charata, but you don't have charata, I mean. You're just reading the list from the machzor because all the words are there, but it's a sin of the speech because all you're doing is speaking without putting your heart into the vidui. A few later, once again, mockery, speech that is denigrating, speech that is crass, speech that is rude, speech that is derogatory towards our parents and our teachers. Tipesh translates as a foolish person or a stupid person. Tipesh. So tipshus peh means foolish speech, silly speech, speech we should not have said. Speech that we have sinned before you with impure lips. Amamish, look at this list. Look how much we have to confess for in regard to the sin of speech. I added, even though it's not specifically vis-a-vis sins of speech, but because without that Yetzer Hara, without us giving into the Yetzer Hara, when Isha listened to the Nachash, they also sinned on the first day of creation, the day they were created, which was Rosh Hashanah. We know she listened to the Lashon Hara of the Nachash. The Nachash was the Yetzer Hara. Before he was external to man, after sin he moved inside man. So we sinned before you by listening to the Yetzer Hara. Through sin that we sinned before you through denial and false promises. The sin that we sinned before you through slander speech. Sin that we were late, we were mockers, we were scoffers of other people. This too utilizes the place of speech. Sin that we sin before you with food and with feasting. So this one I thought was very interesting. Why did I include it? Because Natias Goron is translated in the art scroll text as haughtiness. Balgaiva. By the way, haughtiness is one of the main causes of, we learned it together in the Gemara Maseches Arachin, it's one of the seven causes of tzara'as. But garn means throat. Literally, garn means throat. And that's what I thought. And I just looked it up on Google Translate when I was preparing the shiur just to confirm for myself, because Ivrit is not my first language. Before I tell you, I want to be sure, and it is, Garon, Gimel, Reish, Vav, Nun, Sofis, does mean throw. So Natias Goron translates as haughtiness, but the source of haughtiness stems from your outstretched throat. Once again, we're talking about Koach HaDibur. The sins that we sinned before you with conversation of our lips. And that doesn't specifically speak about speech, but it, of course, is one of the foundations of sins of speech. The sin that we sinned before you with with haughty eyes. This too is one of the sources of tsara'as, as per the Gemara. When you feel elevated over others, ultimately you're going to speak negatively about them. The sin that we sin before you through entrapping our neighbor, through ensnaring our neighbor, perhaps through bad advice, once again, can relate to Shmir Salashon. The Gemara as well says there that Tsarus Ayin, stinginess of eye, leads to Lashon Hara and Tsaras. The sin that we sin before you is saying, do you know what so and so said about you? It's Beferish and Parshas Kedosh, and I believe it's Perek Yotes, Pasuk Tezai. You should not be a rachil, Rashi says a ragil. Shouldn't be someone who walks with your feet from place to place, spreading slander. It's Beferish, one of the Achetz. And finally, the last one that I put an asterisk by, Mamashav Marks and my Machzer with a pink pen here. And I think that even though Sin Eschinim is not per se only manifest through sins of speech, but primarily sin eschinam does come about when we talk about sins of speech. So when you look at the list of al-chait, it is overwhelming how much sins of speech must be part of the teshuvah process. We began with the Rav, who says that in medieval Hebrew, a man is referred to as a medaber. It's our distinction as a human being. What distinguishes us from animals? They eat, they drink by the waterhole in the savannah. They relieve themselves afterwards. They find a mate. They parent children. They seek shelter. They protect their young. They build a nest. Are we so different? You know what distinguishes us? The intellect of the mind and the majesty of the word. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah, and the moment he was created, Vayipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim. I already quoted the end of the pasuk, Bereishis 2:7, Perek Beis pasuk Zayin. Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya v'havas ba'adam ruach memalala. Was on Rosh Hashanah at the moment of creation that man was invested with the Kolach HaDibur. And you see that when it comes to Yom Kippurim, 10 days later, how much we must confess for when it comes to sins of speech. Ooh, I almost spilled my tea. I'm sorry, I'm on the table. It must be an integral part of our Teshuvah process. So I'm now going to a Sefer, which I've quoted from a ton this time period, these past few weeks, and that is Yamim Noraim with the Magid by Rabbi Pesach Kron. The following insight I have not yet quoted from. I was saving, not really, when I was preparing this class, I remembered that he wrote this, so I ran to get it out. I have not yet quoted from this. Okay, so this is Yamim Noraim with the Magid, the new Sefer of Rabbi Pesach Kron. Someone asked me, if they don't have it yet, is it because they asked me for a book recommendation yesterday? So I recommended this, and I also recommended A Tap on the Shoulder. If you didn't read it, a beautiful Sukkot reading. Rabbi Meir Schuster, the Kotel rabbi who was Makariv thousands of Jews back to Judaism. So that's also Art Scroll. Highly recommend. So someone said, if you know the Yamim Noraim are almost over, is it kedai to get the Sefer by Rabbi Pesach Kron? I said yes, because many of the lessons, even though he ties so much into the Yamim Noraim, there's so many life lessons. So if you didn't read it, I still do recommend it. A number of people reached out to me to tell me thank you for the recommendation, and they bought the book. I really feel it's kedai to learn through this Sefer. But specifically for this class, okay, Rabbi Pesach Kron writes, V'alchei shechatan lefenecha b'dibur peh, the sin that we sin before you through speech of the mouth. Every morning in the Shachar's prayer, says Rabbi Pesach Kron. Just what I want to quote, yeah. Let me just look at my notes for a minute. Yes. Every morning in the Shachar's prayer, we recite an expression that David HaMelech uses to describe one of Hashem's attributes. He writes that Hashem, as we say this in the Hallelujahs, between Ashrei and Vayivarech David, Hashem is harofe l'shivurei lev. Hashem heals those who are broken heart. By the way, it relates to Shvarim. I know we're not going to be hearing Shvarim anymore this year, because at the end of Yom Kippur we hear the Tzkiah Gedola, but one of the shofar blasts is the Shvarim, and that represents our brokenness. We stand before Hashem Shever, from the root word broken. It's a Tzkiah, but it's broken up into three parts, and it represents our brokenness as we stand in God, before God, on this Yom Hadin, and realize how frail and finite we are. So Hashem is harofe l'shivurei lev. God heals those who are of broken heart. Interestingly, points Rabbi Pesach Kron, the Rosh Tevos of harofe l'shivurei lev, spell halal. Harofe is hey, l'shivurei is lamed, lev is also lamed, halal. Perhaps these letters symbolize that one who has the wonderful capacity to give encouragement to the dejected is indeed worthy of great praise. words can heal, says Rabbi Pesach Cohen Harofi Lishuvreiv. So we have a choice. We went through that whole list in the beginning with Dibarnu Dofi. Don't forget Dabal Dalet, Dabal Dalas. You have to know when to open your mouth and you have to know when to close your mouth. And then when you look at the Al-Chet, you see how much our teshuva must be focused on sins of speech. Words can heal, says Rabbi Pesach Cohen. The right words are like pearls. Every single one is precious. We can make or break people with just a few words. We can build or destroy people with just a few words. So we saw it in the Chafetz Chaim. Soloveitchik says the same idea. It behooves us to choose our words very carefully. And then Rabbi Pesach Cohen writes, in the period of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, it is appropriate to reassess how we use our words. In the series of the Achet, the long list of sin that we recite numerous times throughout the Yom Kippurim, 12 of those sins refer to transgressions through speech. So I went through the list with you. I did add some that I thought were relevant, such as sin eschinim and yetzer hara. Really, those are major impetus for sins of speech. Now, Rabbi Cohen quotes the Chafetz Chaim. Rabbi Cohen quotes Sefer Chovas Hashmira. That's our Sefer. Okay? The Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Chovas HaShmira notes, and this is something that I have been trying to stress over and over in our learning, and here Rabbi Pesach Cohen writes it. The violations of Shmiras HaLashon are not merely limited to saying evil about others. They include 10 sins. Oh my gosh, I forgot the Tefillah al-Dibur. I remembered it, because here we go. Lying, flattering falsely, mocking. We saw there was one, you shouldn't be a late. Paining others verbally, onas rea, embarrassing others, speaking haughtily, netias goron. It means haughty, but goron means throat. Causing arguments, expressing anger, and lashon hara and mechilas, which are both two of the alchit. So he quotes Chavetz Chaim's Sefer Kuntras Chovas Hashmir. It's obvious to me, says Rabbi Cohen, we have much to reassess regarding the weapons that emerge from our mouths. However, when our words are of Torah and Tefillah, we must be extra cautious. The Chavetz Chaim explains this, I'm still quoting Rabbi Cohen, who quotes the Chavetz Chaim, explains this with a beautiful parable. Imagine a pristine lake, a body of water. It's available as a water source for the community. But the water main that brings the water flow to the town is rusty and dirty. So at the source, it's beautiful, but the pipes that take it to the people's homes are rusty and dirty. By the time the water reaches the people, it will be contaminated and barely drinkable. Torah and Tefillah are pure, says Rabbi Cohen. They must reach heaven. The pipes through which Torah and Tefillah travel are our mouths. If we say something haughty, netias goron, hurtful, honas rea, or coarse, zilzu holrim umarim, or we speak lashon hara or rechiles, which are two of the achits befeirish, then we sully our mouths, which are the pipes, and by the times the words of Torah and Tefillah reach the kisei hakavod, they are barely, rachmana litzlan, recognizable. Numerous scenarios, says Rabbi Cohen, are worth bearing in mind. Today, many women belong to Tehillim groups. Imagine a woman saying Tehillim with 30 or 40 other women. She prays for those who are ill. She prays for the situation in Eretz Yisrael. She uses her mouth in a sacred manner. And later, she receives a phone call for a shidduch. She gives a very negative impression of the family in question. It's very complicated. Don't take any halachic psak from this. If you have a question when it comes to what you should say about shidduchim, you must ask your rabbi. But his example is that all the tehillim, she said, has just been spiritually soiled, preventing those holy words from reaching the heavenly throne. Another example, a bachur is learning beautifully through morning seder, 4 hours beritzifus, uninterrupted Torah. He goes to lunch with his friend, and while they're there, another bachur's name comes up in discussion. This masmid dismisses the other boy as a brainless fool who doesn't belong in their yeshiva. There goes his morning of learning. How about this? And these examples he gives show you how this could relate to every person, so you shouldn't think it's not me. A businessman excuses himself in the middle of an important meeting to daven mincha. He comes back after meaningful davening, and he is asked about a competitor. He verbally tears this man's reputation to shreds. The words of mincha have become shriveled up. Rav Shimon Finkelman, we've quoted this before in our class. Rav Shimon Finkelman writes that Rav Avraham Palm Zatzal felt, I'm sure some of you remember this, the most dangerous hour on Rosh Hashanah is immediately following davening. Why? We've said this before, Rabbi Cohen writes it here. Everyone is on the way home, and one person mentions the Baal Tefillah's voice wasn't so good this year. One says the davening was too fast. The other says the davening was too slow. The third says they didn't like the rabbi's speech before Tekiah Shofar. Another says the Baal Tokeah seems to be really weak this year. Says Rav Pam, what happened to the close connection you forged during your tefillos throughout the morning? Why did we lose that connection? A snide remark, a clever criticism, a degrading comment? Is it really worth it? I once saw, says Rabbi Cohen, a magnificent poster, quote, it's never too late to become what you could have been. Simply put, quote, one can always do teshuvah. And it's interesting because last night in a shir, and yesterday morning in a shir, I spoke about the shorashim of the word for teshuvah. Teshuvah is from the root word shav, to return, to sit, lashavat, and also the answer, yesh li teshuva. What's interesting is that answer deals with our speech. I have an answer, yesh li teshuva bishvacham. I have an answer for you. So here, if you want to know what the answer is to being a chozer b'teshuva, watch the words that you speak when you give that answer to others, and then you can avoid being in hot water. Says Rabbi Pesach Kron, one can always do teshuva. Indeed, he quotes the Chafetz Chaim again. The Chafetz Chaim says it's never hopeless. The Chafetz Chaim says, says Rabbi Cohen, it's never hopeless. You could always be a chozer b'teshuva in this realm. When someone decides to elevate the power of his speech, his learning and prayer will rise through clean pipes to the greatest heights. And now he concludes by quoting Rabbi Benjamin Newton, who was the Rav, Talmid Chacham, unbelievable Rav. Unbelievable, Machnes Oreach, doesn't need any of my acolytes. The Rav of Congregation Shalom Torah in Fairlawn, New Jersey, who points out something fascinating. So Rabbi Cohen quotes Rabbi Yudin. Immediately after we have prayed the 19 brachos in the Shemona Esrei, we say, Alokai Nitzar Lashoni Meira. Why, as we conclude the Shemona Esrei, do we say, you know what? Guard my lips from evil speech. What are we asking for, says Rabbi Yudin? We're crying out to Hashem, asking we use our mouths properly from now on, so we don't negate and spoil the connection we made through the Amidah. So you just connected with God as you're about to take your three steps back and leave your makom tefillah and go out into the world and interact with other people. The last thing we request is siyata deshmaya, not to lose the connection we made with our lips and our words. Siach Sif Sosenu, which is one of the Alchets. So now I'm going to give you a play on words. Siach Sin Yud Ches doesn't only mean speech of our lips. Siach also means prayer. That's a whole other Shia. But Siach also means prayer. Okay, Bereishis 2:5. Bereishis 24:63. Siach means prayer. So now we could say, Achit Shechatan Lefanecha B'siach Sif Sosenu could also refer to the sin that we sinned before you through the prayer of our lips. Okay, I'm adding a little Drashic interpretation of this Achit. Maybe because of the Lashon Hara and the Rechilas and the Sinis Chinim and the Netiyos Goron and the Azuz Meitzach and all the sins, Zil Zohorim Memorim, so I have now have to confess for Siach Sif Sosenu, because what happened to the prayer of my lips when it was sullied in dirty pipes? And something important. Yes, I already quoted, that's Bereishis 24:63. That's Yitzchak, Lasuach Besada. So, we have to consider siach sif sosenu doesn't just mean conversation of lips, it means prayer of lips. Now I'm going to screen share with you. Back to the handout. I have to just turn on. 1 second, please. I'm coming right back. I'm not leaving. Okay. I'm back. Could you see my screen? Pelchus Teshuvah, Parak Zion, says 7, 4 through 8, yeah? Okay, so this is the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, and I'm going to hear, because Rabbi Pesach Kron has quoted the Chafetz Chaim, who says, it's never too late to do Teshuvah, it is never hopeless. If someone, I'm quoting Rabbi Kron again, decides to elevate his power of speech, his learning and prayer will rise to the highest heights. So when I was preparing Shia, I really smiled at the end, and you have to wait till we get to the end of the last halacha we're going to be looking at, because I really feel that it was like Siyata Deshmaya, Hashem was saying like, you know, Yasher Kochech, you're on the right track, because you will see how this excerpt that I chose to share with you from the Rambam ultimately is going to bring our shir full circle. So, Melechus Teshuvah. So now we're talking about the topic of Teshuvah. Specifically in today's shir, we're thinking about Teshuvah vis-a-vis our lips, because with that half an hour introduction, if you will, we saw the Koach HaDibur, the power of Dibur, sins of speech that we must confess for, with the comments of Rabbi Pesach Kron. So, Melechus Teshuvah, says the Rambam, Va'al Yadama Adam Baal Teshuvah Shehu Meruchach Mimayis HaTzadikim. Baal Teshuvah, someone who is a repentant, should not think that he is far away from the level of the righteous. So you might think, I did so many sins, I have so much iniquity, I'm so far away from the level of the righteous. Ein hadavar kein, that's not true, says the Rambam. Don't think that. Ela ahuv v'nechmad hu lifnei abore. You are beloved and precious before the Creator. Ki ilu lo chata me'olam. Look at this. Mamish, it's as if you never sinned. If you're a true chozer b'teshuvah, it's like you never sinned. That's an unbelievable statement. Below, I don't remember. The Rambam's Mishnah Torah, which is something that I stress, is not like a book of philosophy. That's the Mor Nevuchim. This is a book of halacha. These are halachos of teshuvah. Velo od ela shescharo harbe. Not only that, but you have tremendous reward. Shahare ta'am tam hachet. It's interesting. Tam is to taste. Once again, it refers to when we say tam. Mashu means to taste something with your lips. You tasted the taste of sin. Uperash mi men of a kavash yitzro. How hard is it to separate once you know how sin gives you instant gratification, even though in the long term it is poisonous, and you conquered your yitzhara. That was one of the achits. Achit shechatan v'necha b'yitzhara. Amru chachamim, and therefore the sages teach us, b'makom shabali teshuva omdim ein sadikim gemur michalim la'marba. The place where the repentant stand, the completely righteous cannot stand. Klomar, as if to say, Ma'alason gadol mimailas elush elochatu me'olam. The maila, the spiritual level of a repentant, is greater than those who never sinned. Mipnei shehin kovshim yitzram yosra mehem. Why? Because someone who never sinned, who didn't taste the taste of sin, has no desire to do the sin. So his level is lower than he who sinned and repented, because he gets much greater schar, because it's harder for him to hold back. Continues the Rambam, Kol ha-Nevim kulan sivu al teshuvah. All the prophets commanded us regarding teshuvah. Look at this, I bolded it for you. Ve'ein yishon negalin ela b'teshuvah. That's unbelievable. And if you want to know how redemption will come, Geula will only come through teshuvah. The Torah already promised us in Parshas Nitzavim, which we read Erev Rosh Hashanah, that at the end of days, at the end of our exile, Yisrael will do Teshuvah. And once Israel repents at the end of days, at the end of their gals, immediately we will be redeemed. Like the Pasuk says, will be when these things come upon you. You will return unto the Lord your God, v'shav Hashem elkecha, es shavuscha v'richa mecha, Hashem will return your captivity. So we see there in Perek Lamed of Devar, in Parshas Nitzavim, which is read Erev Rosh Hashanah, that when Israel repents, we will be redeemed. So the Rambam says, so great is the koach of teshuvah that it brings the redemption. Furthermore, how great is teshuva? Says the Rambam, Gedola teshuva shemikaraves es ha'adam l'shechina. Teshuva is so great because it brings man close to the Shechina. Shanema, like the pasuk says in Hosea, Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha ki kashalta b'avanecha. Return Israel unto the Lord your God, because you have stumbled in your iniquity. So Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. The pasuk is telling you, says the Rambam, that you can return unto the Lord your God. Klomar im tachazor b'teshuva b'tidbak, meaning to say, says Hashem, if you return in repentance, ultimately you will cling to me. So the reward of repentance personally is that one will cling to God, and the reward of repentance nationally is that we will be redeemed. Hateshuva mikaravas asarachokim. So you're cleaning your pipes. You're totally cleaning your pipes. Before they were dirty and they were rusty, and that mincha becomes ensconced in sin, and that tehillim becomes ensconced in words of Eva. But with teshuvah, you bring close those who were far away. Amesh, last night, this sinner was repugnant, hateful before God. Meshukatz, Meshukatz is not kosher creeping insects. Umiruchak v'to'eva. So last night, you were hated before God. You were meshukatz. You were far. You were abomination. Look at the language the Rambam uses to describe one who is a sinner. It's very powerful. However, with teshuva, v'hayam hu ahu v'nachmar karov v'yadid. Wow. But today, you wake up in the morning and you're a chozer b'teshuva. You are loved. You are beloved. You are close to God and you are his yadid. It's hard to translate. Ahuv nechmad karov yedid. Ahuv is love. Nechmad is desirable. Karov is close. And yedid is a beloved. V'kein atam motzei shebelashon HaKadosh Baruch Hu marchi kachotim ba mekarves hashavim bein biyachid bein birabim. And you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that he pushes sinners away is the same way that he brings close those who are repentant, whether it's the individual or the community. So not only does the individual have an obligation to repent, and it's something that we really have to be thinking about during this time period, and we have to be taking concrete steps to show Hashem we're really trying. I'll tell you an interesting story. This happened to me. And it's mamish as a schus from this class. So it should really be an Aliyah Neshama for all those neshamas that we learn for, and a schus for Shleimer, for the one we learn for. The other evening, before Rosh Hashanah, I was very late in the supermarket. I went after one of my evening shirim to the supermarket. And I met someone there. I'm not giving any comments. I haven't seen for a while, somebody I know, etc. And she was talking to someone else that I know. And I went over to say hello. And right away, she made a negative comment about Meshito. That was the first thing she said to me. I haven't seen her for a few years. I was very happy to see her, and she made a very negative comment about my shaita. And I said, yeah, I changed the color a little. She says, a little, I didn't recognize you. Okay. And there was another person there who knows me from my shirim as well. And I just said, it's so nice to see you. And when I came home, I wanted to tell my husband that I met so-and-so in the supermarket. I knew he would be interested to hear. And I realized if I told, because I hadn't seen her for a while, and I realized that if I told him that I met this person, who he would be interested to hear that I met, ultimately, it will come out of my mouth what she said to me. And you should know, because of this class, I did not tell him the story. I didn't say, I knew he would be very interested without obviously giving any details to know that I met this person for different reasons. And I didn't say. I still didn't tell. And he would have been mamish for a chashuv person. And I did not say, because I knew if I would have made a neutral comment, remember we learned that, the Gemara teaches, you're not even allowed to say a neutral comment, remember? And I knew if I just said that, and it was neutral, I met so-and-so in the supermarket, it ultimately would have come out, I didn't say anything. I almost didn't say anything. And it's with full credit to the learning of this class. So a person has an obligation. Let me go through this. I love that, by the way, Dibar Nadofi, Dalet, Dalet. I hope you like it as well. There's a double door. There's a double Dalet, Dalas. And you have to keep in mind when your Dalas should be open and when your Dalas should be closed. Not everything should come into a Jewish home. Not everything should go out of a Jewish home. And then people have issues with things that they say to others that should be private and sanua. And unfortunately, it's not. Today, we live in a society where everything is out there. Nothing is private anymore in the world. And that affects us as well. You have to think about the dalas of your lips. And we went through all the alchets, and we quoted of Salvechik, and we spoke about the day of Maisa Bereshis, when a person was created, Lahavas Ba'adam L'Ruach Memalala, Rabbi Cohen. And we're seeing here from the Rambam that it's possible to do teshuva, and you go from being Sanui Mishukatz Meruchak V'To'eva to being Ahuv Nechmar Karov V'Di. It's just unbelievable. And teshuva is Makari Fashavim, Ben B'Yachid, Ben B'Rabim. Like the Pasuk says in Hosea, I gave a whole shiur on this parak from Hosea a few months ago. But, v'haye b'makom asher ye'omer lahem lo ami, Atem yomar lahem bini al-chai. So the Navi here proves to us, before God said, lo ami, you're not my nation, when we were sinners, but now it will be said, bini al-chai, you are the sons of the living God. So you see that before we were considered not the nation of Hashem, kaviyachum, when we sin, and now we're the nation of the living God. Kama me'ula ma'ilas teshuvah. How great is the ma'ila of one who is a chozer p'teshuvah, says the Rambam. Emesh, last night, ha'yazem moved on me'Hashem el-keishah. This person was separated from Hashem, the God of Israel. Like the Pasuk says, your sin separated between me, between you and between your father in heaven, says Yeshaya. When Asechem hayu, I have to finish this. Mavdilim b'nechem l'bein el-keirem. Oy, okay. So Eik ve'enonana, it used to be you called out, and because the pipes were so dirty, now we can understand, what does it mean you called out and you weren't answered? Hashem is the Shomea Tefillah. Why wouldn't he hear and answer us? Why? Because if your pipes are dirty, your words aren't getting there. By the time your words get up to Shemaim, they're barely recognizable. And furthermore, he would do mitzvos, and they would be torn up in his face. V'tarfen oso b'fanav. They would be torn up in his face. V'hayamuhu medubak b'shchina. But today, you're so great, you are one who clings to the Shechina. Like the Pasuk says, you who cling to God are alive to eight. So, eight v'nanem yad. A chozer b'teshuva will be called out and will be answered right away. And he does mitzvos, and those mitzvos are accepted with nachas and simcha. But not only that, Hashem desires your mitzvos, like the pasuk says, and this is how we end the Shemona Esrei, the end. And va'arvel Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim ki mei olam uchshanim kadmonios. The mincha of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the offering of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, will be pleasant to God, like of days of old and of years gone by. So you see that a person totally remakes himself, and it is possible to go from someone who is disgusted and far and hated. I'm rejected, and your mitzvahs are torn up. I mean, it's not my lashon. That's what the Rambam says. V'tarfin also b'fan of tarov taraf b'ni. Your mitzvahs are torn up in your face. You call out, and you're not answered. Think of the mashal that the Chavos Chaim gives about the pipes. But now you are clinging to the Shechina. You scream out, and you're answered immediately. You can do mitzvahs, and they're accepted by God with nachas and simcha. Last halacha that we're going to look at, and you're going to see how relevant this is to our class. I mean, even though the whole thing is relevant to the theme of Vinyan Shmer Salashon, but look at this. Bali Teshuva Darkon Lios Shefalim Va'anavim Biyoser. It is the way of the Chozim B'Teshuva to be low and humble, very much. Which makes sense, by the way, because if sin comes from Netiyos Goron and Azos Meitzach, then the antidote to that is Shafal Va'anav. Imcherfu Osan Haksidim. If the fools embarrass them with their first deeds, in other words, if fools mock them for how they used to be. You used to eat at McDonald's, you used to be Michal Shabbos, you used to eat pizza on Pesach, the Amru Lahan, and if the fools say, Amesh Hayisa Osa Kach Vakach, oh, remember last night you used to do this and this, the Amesh Hayisa Omer Kach Vakach, Omer, remember you used to speak like this? Al Yarkshiu. So someone says, you know, you decide to be better this year with Shmir Salashon. I still remember when Shane D. Hammer said years ago in this shir that when you say, you know, this is Lashon Hara, maybe we shouldn't be speaking it. Somebody will say, oh, you think you're so religious? And that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. What should you do? If someone says, oh, remember, you used to speak like this. Amesh you also used to talk like us. Now you're so religious. Now Tafshin Pei Beis, you almost all of a sudden decided, now you're going to be careful? Don't be embarrassed by this person. Al yar gishu lahad. Ela shomin usmechen viyodin shezes chus lahad. Do not be affected by this. Do not have feelings from this. Listen to them, and you should be happy, and you should know this is a chus for you. Shakaz man shehim boshim imaseim, because as long as you remain embarrassed by those passages, you're not proud that you ate the cheeseburger, you're not proud that you ate pizza on Pesach, you're not proud that you're Mechal Shabbos, you're not proud that you spoke Lashon Hara, you're not proud you made fun of your Horim Umorim, you're embarrassed, you're not proud you had Netiyos Goren, you're not proud you had Sinas Chinim, you're not proud you had Rechilus on Lashon Hara, you're embarrassed, you're not proud that your Dabal Dallas was open and closed the wrong way, you're embarrassed. About my averus, I'm ashamed from them. Zechusa miruba u'ma'alasa miskadalas. As long as you remain embarrassed, you have tshuva rata. You didn't want to do them. You're embarrassed. That's a zchus for you. That shame means you really don't want to do that sin. And your maila gets higher and higher. So don't listen to those fools who with their mouths mock you. They're now going to be accused of zil, zohor, mimarim. They're now going to be accused of leitzanus. As long as you're embarrassed by what you did, you really want to change, you become a new person. Before you were mishukatz umiruchak, and now you're ahuv v'nechmad v'yadid. V'chei gomer hur. Gomer v'obal teshuva. This is Rambam. Hilchos teshuva. I stress that this is not a shkava. It's not machshava. It's halacha. Chei gomer hu. It is an absolute avera. Klomar about teshuva. To say to someone who is about teshuva, zechar ma'asecha harishonim. Remember how you used to live. Even to say, wow, you're such a tzaddik now, but remember when you weren't such a tzaddik. It's a chei gomer. Allah has kira in the front of kedei levaisha, or to mention it in front of him in order to embarrass him. Allah has kira dvarim v'inyanim hadom inahem kedei has kira ma'asa, or to say things. So this, it's again, by the way, sins of speech. So you could be the from birth. What do they call it? FFB. You could be the halakha from birth, and he could be a chozer b'teshuva. And now you're sinning with your speech. Remember how you used to live. Remember what you used to do. Hakol asur u'mezuhar alav b'klal. And I love this. When I came to the end of this halacha, I was mamish smiling. I really went here as the springboard for this was that Rabbi Pisa Kron quotes the Chavetz Chaim, who says, simply put, one can always do teshuva, and the Chavetz Chaim said it's never hopeless. So I felt that these halachos, these four halachos, four, five, six, seven, eight, five halachos from the Rambam really relate to this idea of illustrating how strongly one can do teshuva. It is never too late. But then when I came, mamish, to the end of this last halacha that I'm sharing with you, I was really smiling because I feel like Hashem is saying, you're on the right path. Because now he specifically refers to onas dvarim in conclusion. Hakol asher, you're going to have a sin if you remind the chozer b'teshuva how they lived. Umuzhar alav b'klau honais dvarim. Why? Because we have a specific law not to oppress your fellow with words. Shehizhira Torah Allah, like the pasuk commands you. And I put it in the footnote. The Rambam refers to Sefer Vayikra. One second, let me move you over so you could see my footnote. Let me just make it a little bigger for you. So this is the final pasuk that the Rambam refers to, and we'll end our shir. I want to add one thing after. Below sonu ish as amiso via reis chmeil kecha kini hashem akechem vayikra perichav hei. A man should not oppress his fellow. You shall fear the Lord. I am Hashem. So what does Rashi say? What do you mean you shouldn't oppress your fellow? Below sonu ish as amiso. And this is how the Rambam ends this halacha. It's perig zayin halacha ches. The last thing that I chose to teach is about onas dvarim. Could you imagine? So if that's not siyata d'shmaya, I don't know what is. Kan hizher al onas dvarim. I didn't know how the Rambam was going to end. I don't know this halacha by heart. I thought it was appropriate halachos because the topic of teshuva is so relevant for Shmiras Halashon, and we shouldn't be discouraged. It's possible, however, whatever decade of life you're in, to be discouraged, because I'm sure we all spoke Lashon Hara last year. In fact, I'm positive we all spoke Lashon Hara last year, because that's the nature of a man. So you might think, why am I even trying? So you shouldn't be discouraged. And then here, how does the Rambam end? He talks about Onas Dvarim, Mamish. What is lo sonu isha samiso? Kan hizher al onas dvarim. Here we are warned about verbal oppression. Shelo yachnit es chaveru. You should not annoy your friend. Velo yaseinu eitzo she'eino hogeneso. You shouldn't give him advice that is not appropriate for him. Lefi darko v'anaso shelo eitz. It shouldn't be good for advice for you. You know, Rashi says, don't tell him elsewhere, sell your field, because I don't really think you need that field anymore. He puts it on the auction block and you buy it. And if you say, something to keep in mind, mi yodeim niskavanti l'ra. They were doing Rashi to say for Vayikra Perek Chavei Pasuk Yitzayin, as this is the pasuk that the Rambam quotes in part to end Perek Zayin Halacha Ches of Hilchos Teshuvah. Who knows if I meant bad? L'kach nemar, that's why the pasuk says, don't verbally oppress your fellow and you shall revere God. That's why the pasuk says, v'yareisim alokecha, because Hashem knows the machshavos. Call davar hamusa leiv, anything that's in your heart that you think other people will recognize. It says v'yareisim alokecha, because Hashem knows. So we have a tremendous avoda on Tafshin Pei Beis. But is it possible? Can we do it? There's a whole list of the achets that relate to Shkner Salashon, but it can be done, and one should not be discouraged, and one should not think, just because I've tried in the past, you're going to do the same achets this year. And if you're if you're repenting for them, then repent like you mean it and put it into practice, because it is possible. I just want to end with one nakuda from Rabbi Pesach Kron. I see the time. I'm sorry, Chatasi. I really try and actually stick to a time, especially because I have another show after and you all have somewhere where you need to be. But Rabbi Pesach Kron brings a vart that I'm going to adapt a little bit, and I think it's very powerful. He quotes the Achit Shechatana Lefenecha B'machal U'V'mishta, with food and drink. That, by the way, also relates to the dalas of your mouth. And he gives two examples of eating with proper manners. And that, too, is part of Machal U'Mishta. You shouldn't eat like a glutton, you shouldn't stuff your face, etc. But he really teaches something interesting, a homiletic interpretation. Okay, I'm sure you're aware of this. On Shabbos morning, there's a halacha, it has to be Kiddush B'Makom Su'udah. So if you make Kiddush at 10:30 and then you're eating your lunch suda at 12 o'clock, it can't, that Kiddush that you had, I mean, you could ask your rabbi, but that Kiddush you made at 10:30 is not covering your lunch suda. You have to come home and make Kiddush b'makom suda. And I don't remember where I just read it, but the halacha is makom suda doesn't just mean in the place where you have your suda, it means in proximity. Kiddush b'makom suda means, you know, Kiddush has to be in proximity to your suda. So your Kiddush at 10:30 is not yotzi when you come home to wash on your lecha mishnah an hour and a half later. But Rabbi Pesach Kron quotes a homiletic interpretation of Kiddush B'Makom Su'uda. Kiddush B'Makom Su'uda, sanctify yourself in the place where you eat. Kiddush B'Makom Su'uda, sanctify yourself in the place where you eat, where you have your meal. So he brings us two stories to show how Gedolim are refined in their eating. But I think a further homiletic interpretation of the homiletic interpretation, Kiddush B'Makom Su'uda. Makom Su'uda is also the Makom of Dibur and Amira and Chas V'Shalom Lashon Hara and Rechilas and Onas Dvarim and Atiyas Goron. That's all Makom Su'uda. So my final thought that I leave you with in today's shir is, as we move into Yom HaKippurim, Kiddush B'Makom Su'uda. Make sure you sanctify yourself in your place where all your speech emanates from. So our shir should be Yizchus, Aliyah Neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Achana, Zev Wolf ben Yishai, Leah Mashalom, Rufu Shleimah for Bracha V'Gavas Racha Gita, and specifically on the morning of his Levaya, our dear friend Toby Carey's father should have an Aliyah Neshama, Chaim Shalom ben Yitzchak Isaac, and we should be Zocha in Tafshin Pei Beis to share only B'suros Tovas. I thank you, I wish you all Gemar, the Chasima Tova. I hope everyone really has some concrete food for thought in regard to making your vidui a little bit more meaningful this year. Thank you so much, and thank you to our sponsor who would like to remain anonymous. Tizku l'mitzvah solamaisim tovim. Kol tov, everybody. Thank you so much. And a wonderful Yom Tov. We don't mean that for like a month. Thank you so much. Kol tov.